Now come to orders, 3:20 PM on April 13th, lucky day. With us, we have Representative Thompson, Sadler, Johnson, Olson, Miller, and Holmes. We do have a quorum. Please turn off your Blackberries and cell phones. The only item we have on the calendar today is SB 23. We've closed out public testimony and presented a CS to the members. The CS is version G, and it's now the Conrad Jackson Show. Conrad's going to walk us through nine amendments in the order that they were received. And it's my intention to go through the amendments and see if it's the will of the committee to move this bill out of committee and onto finance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Conrad Jackson, staff chair Representative Olson. Again, before the committee, you have a stack of amendments in the order they were received and presented to the committee. The first one is G1. As I said yesterday, this makes a change.
I entertain the motion to...
I'll move amendment number one.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion.
And just to be clear, Mr. Chairman, Representative Sadler through the chair, that is 252/G1, Bullock.
Roger.
This amendment, it makes a change on page 6, line 10. This was a recommendation from one of the committee members to ensure that the CPAs that are doing the audits are licensed to do business in the state.
And is there any discussion on the amendment? Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Conrad, is there any provision that these are people, they're licensed to practice? CPAs would have to be licensed to practice in Alaska. Would they have to be domiciled here?
Representative Sadler, through the chair, that was not in the language. I don't believe a person has to be domiciled to have an Alaska business license, though. We could confirm with the department, but I don't believe that that's the case.
I kind of assume that the license in the state of Alaska means that their CPA license is approved by the state of Alaska, that they are a CPA in the state of Alaska, certified public accountant. This doesn't mean just a business license.
No, it was a CPA license.
Representative Thompson, through the chair, the section that we're amending on page 6, line 10, actually begins on line 7. It's section 16 of the bill, and that is speaking specifically to the verification by independent certified public accountants.
Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. But just to clarify, the question is, does the person have to have a CPA license from the state of Alaska or a business license from the state of Alaska? That's what we're trying to clarify on the record.
Representative Holmes, through the chair, that's a very good question that we really didn't get into that detail in the discussion. It was my understanding to be licensed when the statement licensed in the state of Alaska was, my interpretation was business license. Not necessarily a CPA license. We could get an opinion, I suppose, from legislative legal or the department, but I would not want to render a guess on whether that covers both.
We could amend that.
Well, it's following accountant.
I think it says it.
Yeah,
an accountant license
in the state of Alaska.
Independent certified public accountant licensed in the state of Alaska.
The wording I've seen prior has been certified public accountant firm doing business in and licensed in the state of Alaska. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I was just handed a copy of the regulations. And in regulation 3AAC, I don't have the rest of the quote in front of me, but one of the requirements is holds a current license issued under AS 08.04 by the Board of Public Accountancy. So it is they are required to have that license by regulation.
So a CPA license, Mr. Chairman. Good. Okay.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, I'll lift my objection. Is there any further objection? Amendment number one passes out of, well, passes. brings us to amendment number two, which is G2.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move amendment number two.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This amendment was an attempt to help limit some of the above-the-line costs that are expenditures that are available that would qualify for credits. The numbers, I suppose the committee can beat around a little bit, but the intention was to limit those costs above the line and therefore make some of those, more of those credits available for below-the-line costs.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Good question. Conrad, so that 15%, to make sure I understand the nomenclature of the business, above the line, below the line. Above the line is the high-priced talent, not the craftsmen working, the caterers, the craftsmen, the set builders, the design lighters, that kind of stuff. It's the actors, producers, directors that this attempts to limit the percentage of the entire project expense for which they can get a credit. Is that correct?
Representative Sadler, through the chair, yes, that's the case. The above the line is a term of art in the industry that speaks to, as you said, the actors, the writers, producers,
okay,
some of the higher paid, as opposed to below the line, which was described to me as the worker bees.
And how did they come? How did you come up with the 15% as your top? And what's the goal of the stair step down?
To take those in reverse order, Representative Sadler, through the chair, the stair step was to avoid a major hit to the whole credit program in the early years. The intention of the credit program is to build up the film industry and the attractiveness of Alaska to the film industry. So the fear was to put that in place immediately would actually be a detriment to the whole program, assuming that folks in Alaska, we do not have a full labor pool that is qualified to do all of the various jobs that you would find on a movie set or a production set. So the intention was not to hit them too hard initially, but over time, bring that into place.
So to make it wider, more welcoming, easier to obtain, and then less so as we got established.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And how did you hit the 15%? Why not 25%, 50%? How did you promote 15?
Representative Sadler, through the chair, that was a recommendation from some industry folks. The idea, again, was to talk with industry who are the ones being affected by this cap, I guess you could call it, and, again, not to damage the whole program with this. Again, the effort was to try to bring more credits, more enticement to hire Alaskans, and we didn't want to kill the golden goose, so to speak.
Okay. We thought that the bill stood a chance of getting out at 15%. I think anything higher than that, the bill would probably be here next year.
So the assumption is 15% will. These are people that you're not going to likely to hire in Alaska. You're not going to find, you know, actors necessarily that live from Alaska and so forth. So that's true. Does this limit the kind of productions this would be used at? Again, I'm betraying my ignorance of how the film industry works, but does this mean that we'll only get big budget items with big name stars, or will it only get small cable TV kind of productions with no above-the-line talent? What's it like, the effect of that?
Representative Sadler, through the chair, I've actually heard some folks have issued or expressed some concerns that this might have that effect to limit some of the big star productions. It's really a policy call by the committee and by the legislature whether you would want to try to limit that. I can't say that these numbers are perfect. We haven't had as much time to vet that particular number as a starting point, but we felt that we needed to take some steps towards encouraging local hire.
And do we know we've heard much about Everybody Loves Whales, the big name project, do we have any idea how much of the expenses for which they're going to claim tax credits are above the line? Is it about 15%? Do we know?
Representative Sadler, through the chair, no, I don't have those figures. The film office may have those, but I don't believe they've filed. I don't think everything is finalized, but that would be a question better asked of the department.
Any further questions? I'll lift my objection. Is there any further objection to this amendment. Amendment number two passes. Brings us to amendment number three.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move amendment number three, designated LS0252/G3.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. And this is a simple one.
Why are you tempting fate?
Mr. Chairman, at the risk of using that word in this building, it is somewhat simple. An amendment that was a portion of the CS you have before you was a change to Section 19. I'll back up. Section 19 of the new CS version G changed the look-back period for the state to recover costs that they determined after auditing should not have, or credits that they felt should not have been issued. Because of that, we missed a minor change on the tail end of the bill that we need to go 6 years beyond the sunset of 2023. That's why we have a date of 2029 on page three, or line three of the amendment. And then a corresponding change on page six, or line six and seven, deleting 1 year and inserting the words 6 years.
No further discussion. I'll lift my objection. Any further objection? Seeing none, amendment number three passes.
Full committee.
And we've been joined by Representative Schnell. Just in time for amendment number four.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd move amendment number four, designated /G4.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, G4 was an attempt to increase the saleability of the credits to make them valuable to other taxpayers besides corporate Alaska corporate income taxpayers. The attempt initially in version G, the CS version G, was to open that up to everyone in Title 43. With a little more thought, we decided that that would be best to be narrowed to the eight tax systems that you see listed here in the amendment. Of those, as I said yesterday, are included on line four, the fisheries business tax and the fishery resource landing tax. Those two taxes are tied to community revenue sharing, and the concern was, short of drafting some hold harmless language into the bill, some communities could be shorted some of the tax revenue. The simplest solution we found, and I would ask that the committee consider a conceptual amendment to delete line four of that amendment, that would eliminate those two fisheries related taxes under AS43.75 and AS43.77.
Mr. Chairman, I would move conceptual amendment number four to delete line four of amendment number four.
Is there any opposition?
Conceptual amendment number one to
conceptual amendment number one to number four.
Thank you. Seeing no opposition, conceptual amendment number one to amendment number four moves. That brings us back to amendment number four. Is there any discussion? And I'll lift my opposition to the amendment. Is there any further opposition? Seeing none, amendment number four, as conceptually amended, goes in the move pile, which brings us down to amendment number five, which is Olson amendment number one. Well, we'll go with number five.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move amendment number one, which is designated by Rep. Olson, number one.
Yeah, we'll call it five.
Move number five, designated as.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Conceptual amendment five, Olson, number one, is a change to page 7, line 11. The reason for this change, deleting the word payroll and inserting expenditures, is our understanding that In some cases, the high-end stars, the above-the-line stars, are paid via LLCs, not direct payroll. And again, this is an attempt to make sure that we are covering those expenses as well.
No discussion? I'll lift my objection, and amendment number 5 passes. Brings us down to amendment number 6, which is similar amendment number 1, but we will call it number 6, just for purposes of confusion.
Yeah.
We're all about that.
Mm-hmm. I'll move amendment number 6, designated Sadler 1.
And I'll...
Mr. Chairman, if I could interrupt, and just for clarity on the record, that the motions, we want to make sure that we're clear, and these are conceptual amendments since they were not drafted by legislative legal.
Thank you. Move conceptual amendment number 6.
Mm-hmm. And for purposes of discussion, I will oppose. Would you like to speak to it?
Sure. I'll go for it. Thank you, Mr. Yeah. Chairman. Conceptual amendment number 6 is an attempt to make take some good language that is in page 5, line 5, and apply that to the other two additions. If we're going to consider the immediate and long-range prospects of the effect of the production on the film industry, it just seems to make sense that we would also consider the not only the short-term immediate but the long-term effects of a production on the employment in Alaska and likewise on the economy of the state. It just provides for a broader look, longer consideration.
Give us more tools looking at it down the road. Yeah.
Because there could be some cases where the short-term benefit might, there are often cases in public policy where the short-term benefit might exceed the long-term benefit, so.
Or vice versa.
Point.
Okay. Any questions on this amendment? With that, I'll withdraw my opposition. Is there any further opposition to it? Seeing none, amendment, conceptual amendment number 6 passes. Next one is amendment number 7, also by Representative Sadler, conceptual amendment number 7.
Okay. I will move amendment number 7, conceptual amendment number 7.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The purpose of this amendment is simply to provide a little bit more, to break out the information that we will have available to us according to what's actually paid in wages to Alaska residents as wages, and how much is spent with Alaska businesses. That will be good information as we do the feedback loop and figure out how beneficial this legislation has been. So the more finely we can construe that, the better off we are.
Any questions for the sponsor? I'll lift my opposition to this. Is there any further opposition? Seeing none, conceptual amendment number 7 passes. Brings us down to conceptual amendment number 8, also by Representative Sadler.
Mr. Chairman, I would move conceptual amendment number 8.
I'll oppose for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Conceptual amendment 8, I think it's important that we consider the effects of the productions that we, in essence, subsidize with this tax credit to see that they don't harm Alaska's interests. A large part of the interest in Alaska is the public perception of how well we are safeguards and stewards of our natural resources and our wildlife. So I just wanted to, this amendment seeks to include that we consider the public perception of state policy on utilization and development of our natural resources.
Any discussion?
I have to ask Representative Sadler, how would that whole thing read?
That would
figuring out what the sentence actually says.
Okay, let's see. Best I can figure, start with Section 11.
Okay.
AS 4433233B is amended to read B. In determining under A the section whether a production is not contrary to the best interest of the state, the film office may consider the effect of the production on the public perception of state policy on utilization and development of natural resources of the state.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll lift my objection. Is there any further objection? Seeing none, conceptual amendment number 8 passes. Brings us down to amendment number 9.
How was that? I'd be more than happy to move amendment number 9, Mr.
Mr. Chairman.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Amendment number 9 basically gives this bill a one-year sunset until the audit program can be kicked in. I have a lot of concerns about extending something for 10 years that we, in fact, haven't audited. I'm particularly concerned about us writing checks to companies that don't have license to do business in the state of Alaska, which we have done. If we are not watching it any closer than that, it raises great concerns. And I think that for us to extend this for 10 years now without an audit or an accelerated audit is a little bit scary for me. So I'd like to see an audit before we start extending something 10 years into the future.
Do we have the capability of doing an audit that quickly?
I think I can answer that. I talked to Pat Davidson several weeks ago because there were other people with a similar concern. And any member of the legislature can request a LBNA audit. Pat is fairly well jammed up, but if there was a request, it could be contracted out and done and within a reasonable time frame. It is something that could be done by request.
All right. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, I want to, you know, anytime you're trying to jam something through so quickly, you always need to be a little bit concerned, and maybe jamming is not the right term, but to quote a speech from the floor of the other body, that we should be concerned about things that are being rushed through. We're giving an awful lot of money up here. I have seen story after story. I believe New Mexico returns 12 cents on a dollar. For every dollar they invest, they get 12 cents back. I have a study here questioning the validity of the film tax credits. A lot of states are revisiting them. We've had cases of fraud, I believe, in Iowa where there's actual prosecutions. And I just think that for us to move this quickly, this fast, for that long a period of time, gives me a great amount of concern. It's a year. It gives us a chance to revisit it next year. So I think that it would be prudent for us to at least take a look at it before we go spending another $100 million, which, by the way, we haven't even gotten the first $100 million out that we've appropriated, so we're doubling the amount of money. And we are we have no accounting for it, no ways to look at it. This 2013 for the first time, but by then it's already extended for 10 years. And sometimes it's harder to let the genie out of the bottle than it is to ever – or put the genie back in the bottle than it is to let it out in the first place.
Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to make sure that I understand what the amendment does. So the amendment would basically delete the current audit requirements and replace it with an immediate audit that would to be, well, immediate in the sense that it would be completed before January of next year, and it would sunset the program in a year. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I just wanted to make sure I knew.
But effectively, got the bill.
Take everything. Yeah, I don't think it takes everything. It just.
Everything
except the ability to do tax credits to people without it being audited, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I am very serious about watching this. I great concerns, once again, about paying over $1 million to a company that wasn't licensed to do business in the state. Red flags, red bells, or I guess not red bells, red lights go off. It causes me a great amount of concern. This is something that I will watch very, very closely. I will request an audit happen very quickly. I do recognize that it does do serious damage to the bill, and having said that and expressed my concerns and put it on the record, I will withdraw amendment number 9.
And for the record, I think in the committee packets going back to when we first got this bill there, is a copy of the letter from Pat Davidson that outlined those issues, and I'm sure there will be support for you on going down that route. I do see Pat Davidson standing in the doorway.
Her ears must have been burning.
If there are any questions for Pat. But, amendment number 9 is withdrawn. That brings the bill as amended back to the committee for discussion. Somehow I think we've had a lot of discussion on this bill. I would entertain a motion to move this bill out of committee as amended. Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move House CS for CS for Senate Bill number 23, that's 27-LS0252/G, as amended from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal
amendments. And conceptual amendments.
And conceptual amendments.
Is there any opposition?
Yep. You want me to object?
Hmm?
You want me to object?
Certainly.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry that I haven't been able to be in or out of all the meeting. I listened to all the amendments, but Mr. Chairman, I think it's already been expressed that there is some concern about the length that these tax credits are going to apply. I think there's some concerns about the way they're applied and who in turn gets them. I think that you know, we seem to be, while I may like the film industry, as a matter of fact, my son graduated from a class or from a school that deals in film industry, it still causes me some concern that we're taking money that we're spending, we're tying it up over 10 years, and yet we don't know what our resource and what our revenues are going to be in 10 years. So, Mr. Chairman, I still have concerns on, one, the amount, and two, the way the program's administered. So I won't object to the bill moving out of committee, but I sure hope that other people look at all issues that we deal with daily, and they all realize that the revenue stream from this state comes from the resources of this state. It's a finite resource. It's on the decline. We will spend hours and hours in a committee dealing with ways to give our money away, but we will not have meaningful conversation or haven't had meaningful conversation when it comes to the health of the industry that provides the money to give away these tax credits. So as we continue to provide more and more money to different agencies and different opportunities in this state, I think we need to realize where that money comes from, and that whenever we don't have a healthy resource development state, that we're setting ourselves up for a fall. So, Mr. Chairman, I'll remove my objection to moving the bill out of the committee, but I just think that committee members and all Alaskans need to understand we do have a revenue stream, and it's continuing to decline. And the only thing that's masking the problem that the state of Alaska doesn't have compared to other states around the U.S. is the high price of oil. So just one more time on the record, Mr. Chairman. With that, I'll remove my objections.
I'd like to add that when this bill was delivered to us, it had no audit triggers. It didn't have an official sunset date. And we've at least got three LBNA audits in it, and we've tightened it up considerably. It's not a perfect bill. I would be the first to admit it. I've seen very few perfect bills in my my time down here. Mr. Vice Chair, any comments?
I'm thinking about reintroducing amendment number 9.
If there is a motion on the floor which would be inappropriate, and being the rules chairman, I would never violate the rules.
Is there any opposition to moving this bill out of committee? With that, this bill will move on to finance, and we will adjourn at 10 minutes to 4.